Golf Smarter Premium, number 579, published on February 14, 2017. A renegade approach to improving your mental and emotional skills for lower golf scores with Stephen Ladd.
This is Golf Smarter Premium. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Stephen.
Hello, Fred. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on. You were referred to us by a previous guest, Paul Hobart, banana putting.
Yes, nothing like a banana in your putting, you know?
Are you just happy to see me?
Yeah.
And how do you know Paul?
Paul and I actually both reside here in Ohio, around Columbus, Ohio. He's a golf instructor, and so I have a couple dozen golf instructors locally who I have common clients with. We refer back and forth. Paul and I deal with very different aspects of the game, both essential for peak performance, but as any of my clients will tell you, I don't touch the golf swing one bit.
Mm. And that's somewhere I like to go, is to avoid the swing if at all possible, because I think that there are very fast ways to lower score by what's going on in your head. But you know, we've all heard the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. Golfers, more than anybody, seem to fall into that. And they're baffled by it. Why, you know, why do I keep hitting the ball in the water on this hole every single time? Why do I do that? They just do the same thing. They never take a different approach.
True. Golf more than some other athletes. I don't work exclusively with golfers. It's my personal passion.
Oh.
And you see it in other sports. But golfers, I'd say, and baseball players, both have rituals and get stuck in routines that unfortunately can limit them. We work on releasing them from those kinds of limitations.
Interesting. Baseball players, professional or all levels?
It actually gets more so as you get higher up in the profession.
The dumber they get, the more they get. What and do you really find that the mental aspect of baseball is even or golf are even greater than other sports like, say, tennis or basketball or?
We actually work with all of those.
Uh-huh.
What makes golf so. So challenging, the mental game, is the amount of time you have
right.
to really mess yourself up.
Yes.
You're given tremendous amounts of opportunity and time to get off track, to lose focus, to focus on the wrong things, and to get in your own way and not allow yourself to play to whatever your true potential is at any given time with the skill set you currently have.
Yeah, Dr. Joe Parent of Zen Golf frequently says that I help golfers get out of their own way.
Right.
And exactly. And we see, like, and I mentioned basketball a moment ago, but actually basketball seems to be so much reaction. It's just your constant motion, and it's a lot of reacting to or creating, but you don't have time to think about it. And yet I know in my history of playing basketball that whenever I'll miss a shot and go, oh, I thought about it too much. You know, even in midair, thinking about, okay, I got to do that.
One of the dichotomies, you know, in golf is that you have so much time in between shots to let your conscious mind take over and go to places that aren't useful. Yet the swing is, of course, so fast mm-hmm. that it really cannot be a consciously driven effort. So that's the funny part, is the conscious mind can take over so easily, and then you can't let go of it. During the actual golf swing itself. And if you ever tried to think about a lot of things when you're swinging, it just doesn't work very well for most anybody.
And is it the goal of a golfer to get rid of that conscious thought from your perspective?
That's certainly what we train. You groove a swing, you groove the patterns, and this is where we help a lot of golf instructors. It's really basic learning theory. So this is another aspect of what we teach. But, again, getting golfers mentally out of their own way in order to be able to learn a new move, to get rid of an old move, which, of course, is exponentially harder to do, but to rework their golf swing is so challenging, and they try to go out there and use the conscious mind during the golf swing to fix it, which just doesn't produce results consistently for people. So what we try to do is oftentimes, and again, we don't teach the golf swing, we teach a learning theory at times, though, is to chunk the swing down into very, very distinct parts, and especially the part they're trying to work through or change, and groove that. And we're talking about, you know, hundreds of repetitions throughout that range to groove it down to where the conscious mind will eventually shut down and turn off. If you do something repeatedly over and over and over again, the conscious mind gets tired, and the subconscious mind will then will take in the engram or the motor patterning you're trying to install.
And is that something that's accomplished on the driving range, where you're just prone to repetition?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. Of course, you have to be careful because you can easily practice badly and get an engram that is improper. So we usually do it without a ball at all first. We usually encourage the coach to do it. People will come to us and say, my golf swing is a mess. My coach wants me to do this, and we're like, just show me what the golf coach wants you to do, and then we'll help you do it. Again, we don't coach the swing technique at all, what we'll do is we'll have them practice without a ball. They can practice this in their office, in their home, just grooving elements and portions of the swing where there's problems, and then gradually making that swing a little bit bigger and longer to the point where you've grooved it into the subconscious, so you're not actually thinking about it.
That's not easy. I'm easily a scratch golfer on the driving range. Taking it out to the golf course is a completely different thing. But practicing a swing without making contact with a ball is even harder. I can convince myself it's perfect.
Right. Oftentimes we use mirrors and things like that. And this is another element of our coaching. And again, it revolves more around learning theory. And what we've found is that we have a lot of great golf coaches in the area, actually, and there are a lot of really technically great golf coaches that we've come across who just weren't very adept at getting their fine-tuned technical issues that they were changing within a golfer's swing to be able to become part of the swing easily, to be able to groove it so it was an element where they weren't thinking about it anymore in a fashion that didn't take years. Because what we're talking about, our major passion is getting results for golfers as quickly as possible.
Yay.
And to have to practice every day for a couple years to see, to get a swing groove and just seemed too long for us. So we also have done extensive study in learning theory, and there are all kinds of interesting techniques that a lot of our golf instructors will do now, some stuff from Brain Gym, if you're familiar with Brain Gym.
No.
Before they start a lesson, they'll do some really easy cross-crawl exercises. Just, these are standing exercises that look really silly. My junior golfers give me hell for making them do them. and then I videotape them, of course, and put them on YouTube. Everyone's fun, but... to get like the right and left hemispheres of the brain firing well, and this is all scientifically valid sort of things that you can do just to get a student into a learning phase where they can kinesthetically, and by kinesthetic I mean with their body, their feeling. So many people will take their conscious mind into golf and into a golf swing when what it needs to be is kinesthetic, because there's just no way you can consciously think your way through a golf swing at full speed.
No way. Not possible. So how did you earn the title of renegade?
Well, I can't remember.
Did you create that for yourself?
Well, it was actually given to me. It was interesting because it was on a blog somewhere. Some golf blogger wrote, and I don't think he was singing my praises necessarily. It was these renegade techniques of hypnosis or whatever particular element of our teachings that he was, I assume, unfamiliar with, and therefore not talking as highly of, called it a renegade approach. And so I thought, well, you know, it is, in the sense that a renegade just is not confined to current paradigms or customs. And Bill and I are both results oriented for our clients, and so we really will try any technique or tool, and if we find benefit to it with ourselves and our clients, then we'll ship it out to everyone that we know. So we're just not limited, and therefore we decided we are kind of renegade in that aspect, and so we took it and ran with the name.
No, that's great. Well, I did find one review that says Renegade Mental Game coach Stephen Ladd is revolutionizing the sports world with his use of cutting-edge energy psychology techniques. And then the last line of it cracked me up. He said, many people question his sanity. Few can argue with his results. Wow. Awesome.
Well, there we go.
That's a very nice thing to say.
Well, there we go. All right, I'll take that.
So do you find that golfers are generally stuck in the same patterns, or is every single player unique to themselves your perspective?
Every person, I doubt there are that many patterns with golfers, because we've seen most of them and they're repeated so often.
Okay.
Or just with people in everyday life. As you know, golf and everyday life really are not all that different. And we often joke that the baggage that you take onto the course, your golf bag is the least of the baggage that you take onto the course with you. And what we find is people get stuck in so many ways. And that when they go on the golf course, they usually take that with them. So the techniques that we use, which would be NLP, neurolinguistic programming, hypnosis and energy psychology, we're not the creators of these techniques. And these techniques were all designed to help people in everyday life with their everyday fears and irrational thinkings and depression and illnesses. And we've just taken those techniques and fine-tuned them down to our passion, which is athletics and golf specifically. So It is a process of getting unstuck, and most golfers, we rarely see a totally unique pattern of stuckness, if you will. But there also is individuality in exactly what works in exactly what way, and our techniques allow for a lot of individualization of specific methods.
Well, you just provided me with a Twitter line for promoting this show. Unique, what is it? Unique pattern of stuckness?
I never know what's going to come out of my mouth.
Well, you talk about how, the baggage that we bring to the course and so little of it is golf. What kind of simple tips and insights can you provide us that will help the next time we're out on the course?
Well, really, what we have found is the most important thing for golfer is to be able to manage your state, is to be able to manage your mental, emotional state, because you have the skill level you have at any given moment, and we're not going to be able to change that, and we don't claim that you go from a 30 handicapper to a 6 handicapper in 3 months using our program.
You don't?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah,
it's been wonderful to speak with you.
Exactly. And
I thought you were going to be able to make me a scratch golfer this week.
Wouldn't that be nice? Well, but, what we can do is give you the tools in order to be able to perform consistently at the highest level that your skills currently are able to score with. So, state management is what we're most concerned with in terms of day-to-day play. And one of the techniques that we use is called anchoring. And this is from the world of NLP or neurolinguistic programming. And with anchoring, it's a way that can allow you to evoke a mental emotional state that would be most useful in any situation, including on the golf course when you step up to a ball. So anchoring is basically setting up a relationship between an external stimulus and internal response. And everyone knows about Pavlov and his salivating dog experiment. He basically trained them to hear a bell, and then they had an internal response, which was hunger, and they started salivating. Well, we teach our clients to do the same thing on themselves, only for a much greater purpose, like slashing their handicap. So here's how it works. We have a client think about three mental, emotional, physical states that would be very useful for you when you're out on the golf course, when you maybe step up to address the ball. And common ones could be relaxed, focused, confident. Some people get a little more holistic and think gratitude, things along those lines. And what we want you to do is be able to evoke those feelings at any time that you want. So what we do is, for each individual state that you want, let's take being relaxed, for example. You would, and you can do this off the course, of course, to practice, you would vividly imagine a time in your life when you felt that way, when you were extremely relaxed. You can pick the most vivid example from your memory, if you have them. Say, sitting in a hammock on a beach, with a drink on your vacation, being completely relaxed. You would recall all the senses that you had, what you felt, what you saw, what you heard. You would get into a state of total relaxation in your mind, and then you would attempt to even double that. So what we're doing is we're trying to get that state into a peak state of complete relaxation. And then when you're in that peak state, what we have you do is we have you anchor it to an external stimulus. Now, it can be almost anything, but we recommend that it be unique. It's not something that you do every day, and that also be somewhat subtle so that you're not standing out in the crowd. Like I wouldn't recommend yelping like a dog as your anchor on the golf course. That might be a bit much. So one of the most popular spots that we use would be on the knuckles of your hand. Okay, so in this example, when you're in a peak state, you're feeling completely relaxed, what you would do is take your index finger of your right hand and maybe just push on the index finger knuckle of your left hand. And then that will be your relaxation anchor. Okay, but you want it to be as strong as possible. So you could then break your state, maybe just step back, open your eyes, count back from 10. That would break your relaxation state. And then again, use your mind to go back to your beach hammock and your complete relaxation, double and triple that feeling of being relaxed, and then again, press on that index finger of your left hand, the index knuckle of your left hand again, anchoring again this feeling of relaxation. The more you do that, and with the highest peak you can get of the state being evoked, the better that this anchor is going to work for you in the future. So after a bit of practice, and a bit of time strengthening that anchor, you'll be able to press on that knuckle and instantly get a feeling of being fully relaxed. And then you can also come back and do the exact same thing on each subsequent knuckle on that hand for the different states: focused, confident, great, grateful. You can hit all these. Each knuckle would have a different anchor to a different mental emotional state. And then that's where it gets really cool, because what you can do is what's known as stacking anchors. And that means you can press on all three or four anchors at the same time and instantly feel relaxed, focused, and confident all at once as you step up to the ball to hit.
Is it important for someone like myself who has trouble focusing, especially on the golf course, does it help to mix it up and not do the same anchored state each time that I step up to the ball? Or should all people try to do that?
Oh, well, you can experiment. You can experiment with what works for you. But if focus was the major one, you might not want to mix focus with other things initially. So you might want to be focused and picture a time when you are very focused. Some people have trouble with this, and some people have a challenge with the idea of getting a really strong state evoked. So you would want to, say, pick the opposite of an ADD sort of feeling, which might be focused or intensely, focused, whatever it would be for you, and a time when you felt very focused. And sometimes you got to get a little creative. If you don't have a time which feels very strong when you've been focused, then you can imagine one. Or you can even pick somebody that you know. It could be a friend, could be a famous person, and act as if you were them in your imagination, and act very focused as they would, and then anchor the state in that way. So what you're doing is, just again, just creating that external stimulus of the anchor of your knuckle with an internal state. And the more you do it, and the more you practice, and the more you get that highest peak of the state, and then produce the anchor feeling, the more that's gonna serve you in the future. And then the fact is, you can test it any time. After practicing for a while and making it stronger, you can just stop, you know, in the middle of the grocery store, activate your anchor, and it should work. If it's not working, then perhaps a little bit more practice with it, strengthening it even more, you know, or making sure you're getting a peak state high enough in order to have the anchor set properly.
And what about hypnosis? Is that a value? Does that work within this process?
Hypnosis is another tool that we use very effectively with golfers. Like many people, when I first met Bill and he talked about golf hypnosis, my initial thought was the image of seeing at the state fair years ago, entertainment stage hypnosis, where everybody was walking around like chickens and they were embarrassed because they thought they had no clothes on. It was good stuff. It was funny stuff, you know?
Right.
But I didn't yet have the wherewithal to see how it could be useful to an athlete. And Bill opened my eyes up to the pure distinction between entertainment hypnosis and therapeutic hypnosis, and the benefits that can be derived from that. And what I learned from Bill is that therapeutic hypnosis is actually really pretty simple when you have the kind of elite skills that he does. It's not hocus pocus and it's not voodoo, and you're in complete control as the client the entire time. And this is how simple the process really is. If you just can grasp the idea that you have both a conscious part of your brain and an unconscious part, and your conscious part of the brain wants to become a better golfer. It knows how to do the swing changes. It knows all these things. But the subconscious or unconscious part may have some resistance in some way to your conscious goals. And you really wouldn't know about it because, well, you know, it's subconscious. This is evident, you know, for a lot of people in all areas of life. You know, if you want to lose weight, you make a commitment to losing weight, you decide you're going to do it, and then 2 days later, you see yourself, you know, find yourself eating 3 donuts.
And you've been watching me.
You're thinking, I'm self-sabotaging. What's going on here? And really, the fact is, it's not just an issue of willpower. It's not just that you're not disciplined enough. It oftentimes comes down to you just don't know about all the parts of your brain and how they work. It is your brain, and we're gonna help you be in control of how it works. And so with therapeutic hypnosis, Bill he gives specific instructions to your subconscious mind so that it can be more in agreement with what you want, with what your conscious, say, your outward goals are. And what happens in a renegade hypnosis session, we have audio CDs and MP3 downloads for this, is at first you get into a very deep state of relaxation. And this relaxed state, you're not asleep and you are in control the whole time, but this relaxed state allows your conscious mind to let go. And the instructions and suggestions that Bill is making for your golf game and your goals then get direct access to your unconscious. And therefore, they're able to stick and actually hold there. And so the sessions don't really feel like all that much. You just feel like you're really relaxed. And Bill is talking to you about the perfect swing or how to have more confidence in the golf course, stuff that all makes sense. And you're liking it because you're relaxed. But afterward, most people don't feel hypnotized, you know. And this is very common, and actually it's a positive because the suggestions that Bill made you during the session, it was just as if he was talking to you, and it went straight into your subconscious. So the ideas actually become yours. And we have clients listen to a particular hypnosis track of their liking every day for 14 days. It's only about an 18-minute commitment on average. And then after that, regardless of how they feel or don't feel, they go on the course and they just keep track of the progress. And And that's really the gist of it.
And you've seen that this has been effective for golfers?
Oh, yes. Of course, I try everything on myself first. And other guinea pigs that are having a lot of fun doing all the stuff that we discover and find out about and try. And it works extremely well. And it works in other areas as well. We have other clients who want to lose weight. Bill has a very successful CD on weight loss. And it's very funny because people who are losing weight will just say, you know, I don't really know what it is, but just making the right decisions just seems easier. It's not even – it's not as trying anymore.
Wow.
And the golf course will say, you know, everything just felt easy. You know, it could be described as flow or the zone, if you will. But people are able to be in a state that way. And the most humorous thing is that over the past 4 years, we've gotten dozens of emails from people all over the world. But actually, sometimes they tell us, and sometimes we get the emails directly from the wives. And what they say is, thanks, because I don't know what your golf hypnosis CDs have done, but my husband is just a much happier guy around the house, you know, in all areas, you know. And so it does have sort of bleeding effects into other aspects of your life as well. But like I said, Bill does have other programs for specific things. But even just the act of getting into relaxation, having the conscious mind turn off, and having positive reinforcement directed right at the subconscious can have really big umbrella effects in all kinds of areas.
Mm. And you said you had downloads on your website?
We do. You know, of course, our full practice session, I'm sorry, our full package has the perfect golf swing, getting in the flow or into the zone, and then we have a session based all around putting.
Mm.
Currently working on 3 or 4 more. We just take the feedback of our clients and see what they want and therefore gauge what our next project will be based on that. But what everyone can do actually is for free test out a sample hypnosis session on our website. There's all kinds of free fun stuff for people to check out, including the hypnosis CD, a video, and a couple special reports that can give you a real good idea of what we do, give you an idea of how the hypnosis session feels, how not intimidating or weird it is, and learn a little bit more about some of our other techniques.
So please give the website. Come on.
Okay.
I mean, the door is open here, buddy.
RenegadeMentalGolf.com. It's Renegade Mental Golf.
RENEGADE MentalGolf.com. Awesome. Very interesting stuff, Stephen. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I thought you must love talking about this stuff.
I do, and I could go. I could go on forever. And my wife,
get your own podcast.
My wife needs to turn off sometimes too. I come home from work, and it's what I talk about and think about. But it's great to have a chance to chat with you and your podcast listeners about some of the stuff we're doing.
So with each episode of this podcast, there's so much more than just researching, scheduling, recording, editing, and publishing an interview. Each week, I try to compose an inviting title, create a humorous custom show cover, produce an accompanying video, and write compelling show notes. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining about the work. I love sharing this content with you. But I just tried an experiment, and my suspicions were confirmed that the show notes may not need to be so detailed. The interesting way I discovered this was with the last two episodes that we featured Fred Shoemaker. The show notes included an offer that you missed. So I'll make it now. If you enjoyed Fred Shoemaker or have been a longtime fan of Fred's, you'll get a lot of phenomenal information and insights from his latest DVD, Extraordinary Golf, The Secret to Transforming Your Game. If you'd like one, I only have a few left, but you can get one of these DVDs that sells for $50 and you can have it for free. I'm going to give it to you. All you have to do is write a review of the Golf Smarter podcast in iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. Once you've submitted your review, send an email to me at fred@golfsmarterpodcast.com and include your review and your mailing address. And for only the $5 handling and the cost of shipping, I'll send you the DVD. Please make sure that your review is posted in the United States. Again, there are a limited number of discs available, so it's got to be first come, first served. But you should definitely take your chance, because a lot of people will hear first come, first served and go, oh, well, I'm too late. No, you're not. Give it a shot. There are more than one. There are definitely more than one disc to get out there. Now, other than becoming a Golf Smarter ambassador by telling your friends about the show, these reviews may be the single most important way to let other podcast listeners know who are searching for informative and entertaining golf podcasts that Golf Smarter is worthy of a try. So send me your review and your mailing address to fred@golfsmarterpodcast.com.